Hi, folks. Welcome back to Divas, Diamonds, and Dollars podcast. We empower today's lady boss who seeks whole life strategies for living their best life. We bring you the key success principles on personal finance, leadership, and business to help you get ahead and succeed at a higher level. Follow us and get the goods. I'm your host, Larissa Troach, together with.
Cecilia Benford.
Oh, I plan on dying in my cubicle. Now, I didn't say that, but that was a very grim headline that I saw yesterday, this week. And it was a 41-year-old single mom who has no retirement savings and she has about $125,000 in debt. I'm like, I'm not even sure how that happened. And then the article, of course, went on to suggest that, she paid down her debt by using the snowball effort, which we've talked about. That's tackle your smallest number first and then so forth and so on. And then, start investing in maybe an IRA or a 401k. Now, sure, simple, basic steps that we should all adhere to if we, I'm saying, people, have you gotten started? But what else do we need to think about? Let's discuss. Oh, because I'm going to suggest to you wellness, technology, and yes, good genes. These are all the contributing factors of greater longevity for most of us. In particular, if we are an active participant in our own health and well-being, ojalá that you are. So what else? What can we do to make sure that we don't outlive our money? We've got our eyes over here. We got to look prettier. We got to look, youthful. And we're putting the money on the outer, right? I'm personally spending all my kids' inheritance on skincare, okay? But we have to make sure that we don't outlive our money. So I say to you that there is perhaps an argument for retiring later and playing harder. This, my friends, is where income diversification comes in. Do you think there's an argument? Do you agree with that statement?
But I'm kind of stuck on the poor 41-year-old. I'm like,
Oh, that's harsh. But I know a lot of people in
so
that.
I know I need to move on, but I'm thinking, whoo, but then again, when I look at some of these people's student debt out here, I can see why somebody might have that, which on the one hand, I know numerically why they would have that, but the decisions to go that way, that's another story. But moving right along,
Well, I'm
because
just gonna say, I think I understood what you said. You said the decision to go that way. I mean, we go to school because we think if we have this piece of paper that says we are smart and bright, we will get a job that pays us for being smart and bright. And the two don't always go together. That has changed, I think, over the years.
And I mean, I've had a lot of conversation about this because, it's been on the news. And you're right. And thank you for going a little further because it sounded like I was being harsh. But no, for Cecilia, if I was in this situation, first of all, every year or some point, I get a pay. I get a document tells me what I owe. I'm probably gonna stop and take out no more loans because I don't want to be that person. I probably am going to go a different route. That's what I mean. So it's not the upfront decision. And quite frankly, it's the school system. I mean, it's ridiculous. Okay, but that's not what we're here for. So let's go on with another recent article. How about that? Talking about people working after retirement, not just because they need to, but because they want to. Imagine that. Before, you're always taught to just work, work, work. And guess what? You're going to be able to retire. And really, I mean, didn't we kind of think that way, Risa? Don't you think? I mean,
I think we grew up during that time where
yes, exactly.
it was understood.
And so that was, and then even when they started talking about baby boomers, because your job was about being stable, being invested in 401k. Boom, you're going to be able to retire at age 65. Well, everything's changed, right? So, one, we are smarter now because let's go back to people retiring, not people working after retirement is because they want to. One of the things we've learned is the social aspect. It is also to make ends meet, but I can really say I knew this before I retired. But I know that you benefit from being socially active.
Oh, absolutely.
So yeah, and I just think that the focus on that has only really been about 10 years, to tell the truth, in terms of, it being talked about. So you can benefit both from, setting up your own businesses while you're still working. And yes, I mean, don't we all know somebody who's like that? And that the reason is so that it's up and running. So by the time you officially retire, guess what? You already have customers. You already have a rhythm of what you're, what that business looks like. And hopefully, you save some money. So what are the benefits again? Excellent reasons to diversify your income now, staving off boredom. I can't imagine when people say they're bored because there's so much to do. But let me tell you, there are people like that, and you don't want to be bored because, Risa, you'll probably mention this, but whether we used to call it the next chapter of our life. So I'll just leave it that way. But you want to stay mentally sharp. That's really, really important. And certainly to supplement your income. So we've talked about many times all about the benefits of having more choices when you create a portfolio of income. You want to be more comfortable in your retirement. For me, that ranks pretty high on the list.
So to your point about, staving off boredom, I read, years ago is that if you are bored, that means you're boring. I mean, I thought about that. I mean,
I think,
I that just means you don't have enough imagination to stimulate yourself with all the different, as you say, there's so much to do that you could do. And so, yeah, I'm not in a hurry. There was that FIRE movement. Financial independence, retire early, FIRE. And then, of course, the article said, well, some people who did that, it's not all it cracked up to be. Because, I mean, I just don't want to sit around. I cannot imagine just
Right,
sitting around. So
exactly.
I don't have that pressing urge to page turn, gotta go, bye. Like, okay, what else am I gonna do? I was talking to my friend about that yesterday. He's like, well, you could. I'm like, no, thank you, no. Yeah, people always have other ideas for you when you were like, yeah, I don't know why you even said that, 'cause that's not me, but that's okay. It's okay. He was being thoughtful. I'm sure that's what his intent
Yeah,
was.
I'm sure.
Okay, so let's consider perhaps reinventions, right? We often talk about our future second act, but with longer lifetimes, I'm really, you got your longer lifetimes, healthier lifestyles, and opportunities inspired by technology. I'm thinking we probably need a third and fourth act on top of it.
I think so. Yeah.
We're not, I already told you, we're not one dimensional. There's so many, well, I have a lot of interests. I won't say I want to do them all anymore, but I still want to do a lot.
Yes.
And I'm just going to have to throw it out there that changing your diet and exercising more are the minimum. That's like the baseline. Things that you can do to improve your chances of staying healthier as you live longer. But if you are up to the task, and we hope that you are, really take control with the following ideas I'm going to suggest to you. And I'm going to say that the reason I'm on my bandwagon today, or what's it called, my soapbox, is this book right now. It's called Outlive, and it is The Science and Art of Longevity by Peter, let's go ahead and destroy his last name, Attia, Attia. Because it's about, rethinking medicine, which traditional medicine is like, oh, let's just put a band-aid on it and you're going to be fine. And so your later years are not quite as vibrant as they could be because they're just, it's a band-aid approach. But I suggest to you, why don't we just go ahead and try and prevent those things, which is what he suggested. I didn't say I suggested, we're suggesting. How about that? So we prevent the things, and he talked about the four horsemen, which we're not going to review the book today. Because you can see it is not a quick read, it's going to take a minute, but it is interesting. So I maybe check that out and get inspired by self-care that takes on a new meaning. For example, the information is there, the resources are plentiful, and I'm feeling like they're more readily available to quote unquote all of us. Some things used to be out of reach, but with technology and time, prices come down. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna check that out. For example, the skincare industry is thriving. There was who was that who said that? Oh my goodness. Anyway, I can't remember who it was, but they were the point was that a lot of the companies, like Kohl's, for example, they added Sephora to their store. And I think it's, I don't know if they mentioned Macy's. I wish I could remember that. Ulta Beauty, ULTA, that store.
Right. Even Target has
Right.
added.
That's what it was. Target added Ulta and all these things. They're trying to, well, they want to make some bucks and they say, oh, this is popular. Let's go ahead and add this to our offerings and so that we too can benefit because, people are going to spend money to kind of to stave off, if you will, the appearances of getting older because, we are so judged in society. So, we gotta keep it going as long as we can. This is not a cosmetic commercial. But anyway, I'm suggesting, aging well, look 10 years younger is I think it's a vanity metric, which I don't get me wrong because I told you I'm already spending my kids' inheritance on anything that promises to make me look more lovely. But the question is, what is going on inside your body? And that again is what my new friend Peter is talking about. So keep up with the skincare because I think looking good makes you feel good. And I'm not ever going to suggest that you don't take care of yourself. As a matter of fact, I'm suggesting you do spend a little bit more time on yourself. That's cool. And I'm also going to suggest that biohacking takes self-care to a new level. So I'm not sure if you've heard about that, but a very basic definition is making incremental changes to your body and your lifestyle to improve the quality of your life, obviously, and of course that whole longevity conversation. Because most of us will be here a longer time, and I, for one, want to be independent as long as I can. So I'm going to do all, well, I'm not going to do all the things. I'm going to do more things, right? I've got to minimize the damage. So, for example, biohacking can be anything from supplements. I've got a fistful that I take every day. Intermittent fasting, we've all heard about that. And that was, I think, more directed toward losing weight, but also intermittent fasting, depending on how, whether you go, what is it called? 4, 8, or 16, not 4 hours, that's not going to cut it. 8 or 16 hours, or even 20 hours, right? It's considered that calorie deprivation, that's not even it, but calorie reduction or something, however, there's a term for that, but eating less makes you live longer. I could have said that in much more better English. So, but and then there's of course weight training. You got to do it. You got to do it, especially as you get older. You need that upper body strength. So you cannot bulk up at this age. So don't even worry about, I don't want to get bulky. You won't get bulky. I've tried. It's not happening. But you do need to do the weights because you do need to be stronger. I don't want to be that help. I've fallen and I can't get up. Well, that's because people don't have that upper body strength to push themselves up off the floor. So get out there and lift. And then, of course, the technology trackers, right? We gotta track our mileage. We gotta track our breathing. We gotta track our heart rate and our steps, of course. And then, of course, on the extreme side, there's the stem cell treatments. That's quote unquote affordable or otherwise within reach. Didn't used to be. Now, cryotherapy, I don't like being cold any old time. So, no, I'm not going to do a deep plunge or go into a machine that, freezes you, drops your temperature a severe amount. I haven't seen the magic behind that, but I will not be signing up. Thank you. And then, of course, red light therapy, I'm all about that because that's not just for hair growth and skin care, but it's also treats inflammation and many other things, they say. I don't have a machine. I don't know. But and then of course vitamin infusions where you take an actual IV to get X, Y, and Z nutrients supplements. So I mean there is a lot that's out there, and you can check those out if you think that you might want to explore. But getting more sleep, for example, is a hot topic. I'm telling you, sleep is going to cure everything.
Help me, help me.
I wish I could go to bed at a decent hour. They're suggesting, it's not just about you. We need our 8 hours, but it's the healing that takes place while you're sleeping. That's why you need to get your body parts in bed, Larissa. So, this trend is going mainstream. So, check it out. And if you're curious, for example, you've probably possibly seen the tech executive, I guess they call him, Brian Johnson, who, he's famous for spending $2 million a year on being more youthful. I watched a couple of his videos. That man is ghostly. I just could your regimen include a little bit of sun? I don't know what to tell you. But he's very extreme. But okay, he seems like a pleasant person, and hats off to him. I hope it works and makes him happy. David Asprey, I learned about him many years ago because of the supplement regimen. He's the one that has the bulletproof supplement line. It's even available on Target. How about that? And then of course Tony Robbins. You know he's out there doing that because he's lived such an extreme life. So he's got to do all the things to make him give himself more energy. And of course, there are others, but I just wanted to throw out some names out there in case you want to do a little research on your own to see if biohacking is for you. And then, we've all heard about the Blue Zone diet, the Mediterranean diet, for example. eliminating sugar would be ideal. And I say would be because I do not have that personal experience. It is a struggle. And offers many benefits. But while you're working on that, we know the benefit. We just don't always do what's good for us. We just strive toward. You can definitely add more leafy and cruciferous vegetables. Yes, eat your veggies. That's still important. It's even more important as you get older. While you're also cutting out, or at least cutting down on processed foods, I'm just suggesting give yourself the best chance for aging well by staying healthier longer. Those were three ideas, and I think they all have merit, but you pick and choose what works for you or something different, but just take control and get involved is what I'm hoping.
It's interesting. I mean, you had a lot of things out there. So everybody go to your health store, start getting healthy, start lifting weight. I was like, woo. So, but we, I'm involved in an organization and we're going to have a wellness event at the end of the month. And it is for women. So I hear you, Larissa. I hear you. A lot of things to think about, choose from. So live your tomorrows today. Let that sink in. Now, I'm probably going to say a couple, maybe diverging comments because, when I say that, that first reminded me the first time I heard the term or really saw the acronym YOLO. And I asked, well, what does that mean? And it said, you only live once. Well, that is true, but what are we talking about? How do you live? And so I think that's really key. And I mean, I get to watch that. I have, daughters and bonus daughters. And I mean, how I grew up, how they're growing up, for different reasons. I can see that. And I've had conversations with them about this. So, but I know I am the special occasion. I've learned that, but it took me to retire to really, really get that. And so here's the thing. It sort of, started with a gratitude journey and realizing how blessed I was. But, we had this women's event recently, and it was a nationally published author who wrote this book called American Queen, but the idea was queen and that we would wear our tiaras. And I said, so when I was kind of giving my closing speech, I was saying we're all queens. And I said some things about that, but you know what, everybody doesn't feel that way. But so how do you be that special occasion? I got a lot of good jewelry. It doesn't do any good sitting in a box. I like to wear my jewelry. From this standpoint, I have it. It's a signage of some of the things we're talking about, preparing for my retirement. And so making, good investments so that, I'm not having to, pay on some other debt. I've got good jewelry. I've got nice outfits that I may not be going into a workplace every day. And even if I was working from home, I like wearing my nice outfits because there are some things I'm still very fond of. And then those things, but I don't believe in just letting things sit in the closet either. So if you're not going to wear them, give them away. But fine perfumes. I remember when I graduated to fine perfumes. That was a journey. I didn't always wear fine perfume. And really a few months ago, my daughter and I went to a place. It was actually a one of my coworkers who turned me on to it. But and then when I went to New York 2 years ago, I'm like, oh, there's that store. I'm gonna go in there because I can, right? You know, that's what we're talking about. That special occasion, I am the special occasion today. And so, you know, wearing sweats because I also feel like celebrating every day, you know, put some zest in your pep. Wearing gray sweatpants every day, that doesn't do that for me. Okay. So, what else can you do? Take the class you've been planning to get or pick up a new hobby. For me, I get more into the yard now. I didn't used to. And I find enjoyment in, especially when it's sunny. Okay, let's you know, right temperatures at all. But hey, I'm getting vitamin D, and that sun just really exuberates, you know, throughout my core, I think. And so whatever you're doing outside, but gardening is a good hobby. And it supports all the things Larissa just talked about. Hey, you could do a dance class. I had one of my former people that person that worked for me talking about doing ballroom dance. I said, oh, really? Oh, how cool. Well, for me, I picked up swimming, but I you know, wanted to try it out. I learned to swim decades ago, but I really because I like, you know, going into the water sometime when you're away. And so just to be more confident about that. So that was a big deal for me because I probably was the oldest person in the class. Maybe there's a couple of, you know, other couple of mature women. Finish writing that book you've been meaning to. Everybody wants to write a book because if you listen to everybody on TV, you think everybody can write. I don't know about all that, but, you know, I remember maybe, you know, kind of late before I retired saying, you know, I should write a book. And so I have written a book. You know, I'm waiting on, you know, it's kind of a, you know, you get all whatever the process is. I'm kind of like, okay, why isn't this done yet? But in terms of the other end of the, you know, the publication process. But the real point is it was something I wanted to do and I did it. It's great satisfaction. It's really more about doing the process than anything for me, maybe more so than, you know, the possible sales and what have you. I was talking to another person who I knew was doing this. It's a guy, but yeah, we just kind of shared some of it, what the exercise was for ourselves. And then my sister has written books. So I some time ago, I was like, wow, Louisa's writing books. How cool. I got to write a book. I didn't do this because of her, but I was really very proud of her doing that. And so I read a lot. And sometimes I think when I look at some of these people, I'm like, I could write a book. You know, I've written so much in my lifetime. I think that's part of it. It's like, oh, I no longer have to do that kind of writing. So, but what is the point? Who are you? Okay, I just said two things. I read a lot and I, you know, have edited so many things. So that my reading and writing is a function of my work. You know, anything I read, I'm looking at it through a critical eye because that was over 30 years of what I did. So leave a legacy for yourself of your own creation. You know, it doesn't have to be for anybody else. What else?
Before you blow by that up, Cecilia, what is the name of your book and when will it be available?
I don't know when it'll be available. I'm hoping, I was really kind of hoping no later than next month. But the name of the book is Five Generations, One Nation Under God. So, yes, I hope to be putting that on Blast Street one day. So, thank you for asking. And then talking about that business you've been dreaming of. But you know what? So, let me say this about that statement, because you know what? We all do dream. So I heard two things very recent, and I thought, kind of like that woman that's 41 years old talking about dying in a cubicle. Don't be these two. Don't do be this situation. One was There's always this year. You know, a lot of people think that. A lot of people live like that too, don't they? Well, maybe there is always this year, but I think it helps my going in statement about living your tomorrows today. But it can also be that you're dreaming and not, fulfilling the things. You got to make some progress along the way, okay? So this kind of gets into, my next statement, bridging income to your next big thing. So when I said something about dreaming, I had an idea about my own business, and I put some things together, but I haven't really launched like I would have liked to, because I started doing so many other. I love doing all these things and calling, my time, but my time is kind of like, this is kind of sitting here on the side. So you have to be careful about that. So, react, bridging income to your next big thing. First and foremost, I want to say this is part of what I heard, and that is retirement reality. At the end of the day, people, when I'm talking to people, I'm saying you are going to retire. So, whether it's force, whether it's health, whatever. And so it's really important that, if you start your business on the side today, it can lay the foundation for stronger growth in the future. And so when you build with the strong pillars of strategic planning, without it, you just aren't, doing the best, okay? Thoughtful marketing and financial management, and of course your team that we talked about, we've talked about often, but mentors and coaches and whoever your other administrative people. But here's a pause here that a lot of people are kind of stuck with. So if you go back to 2024, the stock market was doing pretty darn good, but then we had a pandemic, right? And then, so the stock market is up, everybody's happy. And then, pandemic, inflation happens, things go down. Well, what is the point to that? It's simply that that's why you have planning. That's why you do thoughtful marketing. That's why I wanted to use that example. And so, used to be, so really, people's average savings is like $87,000. And yet they say you need $1.5 million. Now, that's not necessarily true that everybody, but what we've talked about is considering passive income and Social Security and calculating your spending and looking at a retirement calculator and to know. So I kind of want to bring in, living today and what you're working at. There's an off ramp. And so your off ramp, you hope that it is one that how long you work without being exhausted, because there's that, Risa always, oh, I can't remember what your phrase is about all the work. I know you have a phrase that you can come back to and tell me, but where you don't want to work where you're exhausted all the time, and you want to work, with what makes you happy. So last week, we talked about the quick start for the quick bucks. And so we talked about, coaching or consulting, because those are the low barriers of entry. And, whether you decide to do this for long term or, just a short term, you go ahead, invest your initial earnings into your next big things. So, as you put together your tools and resources to do this, so I have at least done that. And I at least have put some, together some training and what have you. Special skill sets or training. Can you jump into the deep end right away? Perhaps. What is your possible big thing? Ask yourself those questions. Sometimes we don't really ask ourselves the question. And if we do ask, we don't answer. It's okay in this case to answer yourself. So I'm just going to leave you with an example. I see people like this all the time. I'm like, oh my gosh, how do they do that? A woman-owned business now. This one lady is in four states, and the company is called McKissack and McKissack, where she started her own construction business. I think that is so cool. Women are really getting into construction, by the way. She started with $1,000. Now she's making $25 million a year, So Daryl McKissack is an engineer by training. And where I work, there were a lot of women engineers. And so I always admired them and, just watched, what their capabilities were and could just imagine what they could do with that. But anyway, she was an engineer by training and she attended architect school. And she comes from a long line of construction engineering and architecture. So yeah, did she kind of have a jump start because she has that STEM background, science, technology, engineering, math, genes, and the training? Well, if you have it, definitely got to go for it. So whatever your training is, go for it. So bridging your income to the next big thing. All right, Larissa. So how would you sum us all up with all that good stuff?
I'll just have to say one more time, as the point is, don't outlive your money. Now, again, we made some suggestions based on quote unquote the easy start. And then in this particular case for Daryl, we're on first name basis. But she happened to have specific skills. And I admire women who are in the non-traditional industries. I think there's another term for it, but we'll use the word industries. So whatever your background is, you can monetize it going forward is what we're trying to get across. So you can start it easy or you can plan to go big. I mean, it's just how hard do you want to work? There's that. But it's important to have a dream. Having dreams keeps you, keeps you moving, keeps you motivated, keeps you going. But it's also good to take action, especially if you run the numbers and if they're not quite as robust as you would like, depending on your lifestyle. We can't do that for you. But don't outlive your money. And we will leave the adage or the your instructions are to diversify and multiply your income with business and investing strategies. Get started on that today, won't you? And just by the by, a quick reminder, if you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to follow us on Spotify or Apple Podcast and turn on episode notifications so you don't miss out on the next goodie. And we want to ask you to please share with a friend because there may be some nuggets in here that one of your friends can use. And thank you for being part of our Spodcast, nope, our podcasting journey. Okay. I always love to make up words. You thought I had forgotten that. No, it's important to get you some new vocabulary. We will see you next week. Cheers.